New measures to contain a second wave of coronavirus in Europe are sending fresh shivers through financial markets. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. European stocks have hit a five-month low today as leaders across the continent ready a new raft of restrictions to slow rapidly rising COVID-19 case counts. The World Health Organization told the BBC that in the last week, Europe's daily COVID fatalities rose by nearly 40%. It's a statistic the WHO has described as intense and alarming. As concerns about hospital capacity mount then, investors are also worried about the effect new restrictions will have on the Eurozone economy, which contracted 12% during the first round of lockdown measures between April and June. This morning, stocks in Frankfurt and Paris are down about 3%. Benchmarks in Milan and Madrid are sliding between 2 and 2.5%. Automakers and banks are leading losses here in Europe, while stock futures in the U.S. are down more than 1%. We'll take you around the continent for an update on how European leaders are continuing to adjust their containment measures. We start in Italy, where just 3 days ago, the government closed down theaters, bars, and restaurants, and has now introduced even more measures to stop people from gathering in groups. From Rome, the BBC's Mark Lowen kicks off our coverage.
Infections and COVID fatigue are rising fast, with the highest number of fatalities since mid-May. Protests have started in cities across the country. The mood is beginning to turn here, and the government has warned of an autumn of social tension ahead.
I'm Jenny Hill in Berlin, where Angela Merkel is due to hold an emergency meeting with the leaders of the 16 German states. Case numbers here are lower than in many other parts of Europe, but the speed with which they're rising has scientists and politicians really worried. Mrs. Merkel, who's made no secret of her concern, is expected to urge regional prime ministers to implement further restrictions, possibly a limit on household mixing, and if things get worse, closure of bars and restaurants, though crucially, not schools.
This is Hugh Schofield in Paris, where the French government has been taken by surprise by the virulence of this second COVID wave. 50,000 new cases a day are being reported, and that's probably a big underestimate. So, later today, President Macron is going to announce drastic new restrictions, probably a new national lockdown, as in March, but with some key differences. Schools, for example, will probably stay open. For business, it's going to be another massive blow. After the economy picked up in the third quarter, it now looks inevitable that it'll contract again between now and the end of the year.
I'm Rob Cameron in Prague, where people will no longer be able to leave their homes after 9 p.m. without a good reason, as a new nighttime curfew comes in. The government, meanwhile, has confirmed it will ask Parliament to extend the state of emergency due to expire next week. And also, primary school pupils will not return to school on Monday, despite a cast-iron promise 2 weeks ago. The Czech Republic now stands on the brink of the crisis it avoided in spring, as officials from the Prime Minister down warn the country's hospitals face being overwhelmed with COVID patients.
That's the BBC's Rob Cameron in Prague, ending that roundup for us. In these difficult times, a reliable flow of medical-grade oxygen, much purer than the air we breathe, has helped save the lives of hundreds of thousands of coronavirus patients. In some countries, though, oxygen has been in desperately short supply. The BBC's Mike Johnson has been discovering why and what's being done to address the problem.
A hospital ventilator driving medical oxygen into the lungs of a critically ill patient.
My name is David Latt. I'm 45. I am a COVID-19 survivor. I live in New York. About 5 days or so into my hospital stay, somebody came into my room and this person said, "Look, your oxygen levels are plummeting. We're going to have to put you on a ventilator."
As it turns out, the ventilator which forced oxygen into David's lungs did help save his life. But for developing nations without such advanced infrastructure, life-giving oxygen is much more expensive and much harder to find. Peru has the worst COVID-19 death rate relative to population size of any major country in the world. Desperate Peruvians have been forced to turn to a new black market for oxygen, with cylinders for sale at hugely inflated prices.
What we have seen in city after city is lines of people with cylinders to refill. Family members became responsible for finding the oxygen for their ill relative.
Dr. Valerie Paz-Soldan is a community health expert based in Lima,
The prices of oxygen tanks went up to almost $1,800, probably about 3 months' salary for the average professional citizen in many of the parts of the country.
The WHO, the World Bank, and also the children's charity UNICEF have now shipped thousands of what are known as oxygen concentrators to more than 100 countries. These portable machines remove nitrogen from the air to produce an oxygen-rich stream of gas. In another positive step forward, the Peruvian government now says it will build 65 new medical oxygen plants attached to hospitals and health centres. So how big a help does Dr. Valerie Paz-Soldan in Lima think that will be?
It should make a difference, but probably not enough, and it's coming a little too late.
In the meantime, coronavirus survivor David Latt in New York finds it hard to believe that the oxygen which kept him alive has run out for so many others.
It's shocking and it's really terrifying to think that there are people out there in other countries who can't get access to this medical or supplemental oxygen. Oxygen is in the air that we breathe and it's definitely essential.
That's David Latt ending that report from the BBC's Mike Johnson there. Finally, London's Heathrow Airport is no longer Europe's busiest. That status now belongs to France's Charles de Gaulle Airport. Heathrow's boss says the change is due to faster adoption of COVID-19 testing capacity in other parts of Europe. He told the BBC this morning, though, that despite reporting a loss of nearly $2 billion in the first 9 months of this year, the airport could keep going for another 15 months, even if there were no passengers at all. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.